It begins with a quote by Louis Brandeis, the Supreme Court justice made in 1932, quote, "A state may, if its citizens choose, serve as a laboratory and try novel social and economic experiments without risk to the rest of the country." What follows is a document written by Vermont author Stephen Kiernan called Vermont to the Tenth Power, and it argues that Vermont should use its powers as defined under the Tenth Amendment of the Constitution to protect the state against harmful decisions made by the government at the federal level. Now, joining me in our VPR studios to discuss this petition is its principal author, Stephen Kiernan, whose many books include the novel The Baker's Secret and Last Rites, a nonfiction work about end-of-life issues. Stephen, thanks so much for speaking with me again.
Glad to be here.
In the beginning of this document, the summary, if you will, you write that the federal government is in a state of collapse. Now, that's a pretty strong declaration. What leads you to believe that it is?
First of all, that we are now $22.5 trillion in debt, and it's growing by about $2 billion a day, and no one is talking about a plan to reduce that. You have such stalemates between the branches of government that you had the longest shutdown in national history, and the biggest indicator is that there are subjects and issues in which the American people have very, very broad agreement about what ought to be done and what matters, and these issues are not even getting a hearing or attention in Congress or the White House. Vermont has exercised its independence from the federal government before, whether it is outlawing billboards or saying, no, we don't want a federal highway along the spine of the Green Mountains, or it's same-sex marriage. There are many times that we have said, no, we're not going to go the national route. But it's really been episodically. It's never been a plan that we had where we said, we need to think about doing this a lot now. While Washington's a mess, there are things that we can do independent of Washington to be kind of the masters of our shared fate here.
Did you write this document as a kind of protest against President Trump? Do you think it will be read that way by many people who do support the president?
Well, in fact, some of the really strong Trump supporters will let me know that they don't like this document. In fact, the president's name only occurs once in the whole document. I think that we have now a Supreme Court of questionable integrity, which I didn't think I would ever say in my lifetime. You know, the Senate is unable to hold a hearing on gun issues while we have tens of thousands of people die by guns in this country every year. I'm not sure I know what the answer is, but when you look at how Vermont is responding, we had a teenager with an alleged plan down in Fairhaven, and look, 2 weeks later, the governor standing in front of his critics signed a gun safety law. You couldn't even get that idea considered for a tenth of a second in Washington, or your political career would be over. That's one example where we can say there's a Vermont way to solve this. These are strengths that we have that if we exercise them can distinguish us from the federal direction in ways that really improve people's lives.
We always hear about the red-blue state divide. You say that that is really just a tactic used to serve political parties. Are you saying the left-right red-blue state dichotomy is kind of an illusion? And if so, who's responsible for it?
Bill Clinton is responsible for it. It was completely his strategy as running for the President of the United States. What it didn't do is acknowledge that nationally there is very broad consensus on a whole variety of issues. 75% of people polled in America now say they want higher taxes on the richest Americans. 73% think climate change is happening and the issues important to them. 92% want Medicare to negotiate for lower drug prices.
Can I interrupt and ask where you're getting these numbers from?
You know, I can source all of them, but these are broadly found consensus. In fact, where there were multiple examples of these numbers, I took the lower number, okay? Conservative estimates. And the people that have been really critical of this have not been people in government. They've mainly been people in just ordinary citizens who really feel that Donald Trump is doing a terrific job for the country. And they don't see that we're in a time of collapse. They see us as in a time of transition.
Well, very briefly, what do you say to those people? They've got their point of view as well.
You know, there are people who hold to a belief that climate change is not real. And I know in my garden and my heating bill and my neighborhood and my community and my state and my country that evidence is around me all day, every day, tons of it. When I see people who believe that the country is in a healthy transition under the current president, my life is too short to debate with them. It's not the president alone. I believe the president is not the cause of our difficulty. He's just the loudest symptom. And that we need to respond as the beautiful, brave state that we are and say we are not going to go that way. I want to say one other thing, if I could, about that. We can look at West Virginia and say, how can they continue to emphasize coal? Well, they have good reasons. And no one is going to get elected to the U.S. Senate from West Virginia who's a big pro-solar guy. And we can get overly frustrated, constantly annoyed by all this bad news from elsewhere, this bad national news. But when I talk to people who are working on stuff who are making a difference now, they're not even thinking about that frustration. They're doing something about transportation to reduce the effects of cars on the climate. They're doing something about education. They're on school boards. They're doing town planning stuff. They are involved. So the kind of emotional bomb that I'm trying to suggest here is that if we turn our energy of frustration into action, that people will actually be a little less anxious about the world and maybe even a little more content with their role in it.
Stephen Kiernan is a writer who's penned a document for Vermont to exercise greater self-governance under the 10th Amendment to the Constitution. It's called Vermont to the 10th Power. Stephen, thank you so much for speaking with me.
It was a real pleasure. Thank you.